How would you complete this little sentence? How would you describe who God is to you in, let's say, no more than 5 words, nouns or adjectives, whatever you like, but just try, I'll give you a moment's silence to think about this, describing who God is in your journey of faith. I'll just give you 30 seconds for that. I wonder if a few of you will be brave enough to share with the rest of us what your thoughts were, what your up to 5 words were. Anyway, Malcolm.
I'd have one word. God is love.
Thank you. God is love. Yes.
I'd say, God is my Lord and my guide.
Thank you, Madeline. Winnie?
A loving protector.
Loving protector, excellent. Any others want to? Yeah, Simon.
Counselor.
Counselor, great.
Creator.
Creator, terrific, thank you. None of you tried to put the question with the date, and I'm glad for that, because none of you who spoke included the word Trinity. That's absolutely fine. Everything else that was said was terrific, and it's personal, and it's who God is to you. Maybe those of you who didn't say anything thought of words like Father or Saviour, and Simon came up with Counselor or Spirit. But the word Trinity is a bit esoteric, isn't it? It's a bit, well, that's theological. So this morning, we're exploring what God being Trinity might practically. What difference does it make that God is Trinity? Particularly bearing in mind our first reading, which told us that we are made in his image. We are made in the image of a triune God. We bear that imprint in our lives. The idea of God being three persons yet one God can be mathematically confusing, but so what? Does it really matter that three are one and one is three? God being three actually does matter. It's absolutely essential to the way we experience him. And also, it opens up some mind-blowing possibilities for each of us. More of that a bit later. God being three means that God has never been alone. God has always been in community, which means that God is inherently relational. So it's no surprise that being made in his image, that we're relational beings too. And we are meant for community. Now, that might not fill all of us with great delight. Some of us, myself included as an introvert, some of us quite like being alone and don't want to spend all of our lives in community. But let's not fall into the trap of thinking that God's idea of relationships and community are anything like our ideas. God is not made in our image, we're made in his image. But that image in us was badly damaged at the fall in the Garden of Eden. And nowhere was it more damaged than in the way we relate to one another. When sin entered the human race, our relationships became marked by selfishness, by pride, by desire. And nonetheless, the Holy Spirit, as you come to Jesus and you're filled with the Holy Spirit is at work in you to restore God's image in you. And that should be seen in the way that you relate to others. When we look at relationships within the Trinity, then we will see how we were meant to relate to one another. Indeed, how we can relate to one another even now. As Malcolm said, it says in 1 John, God is love. God is love, says John. It's the very essence of his being. Cut him in half and like a stick of Brighton rock, wherever you cut, love will be imprinted right the way through. Everything he does is an expression of love. It has to be, because love is the essence of his nature. God has always been love. From eternity, even before there was anyone else for God to love, God was love. Because God is Trinity, God always has been in community, God always has been in relationship. And those relationships are characterized by love. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. The Son loves the Spirit, and the Spirit the Son. The Spirit loves the Father, and the Father the Spirit. It's illustrated by the famous 15th century icon, Rublev's icon, it's called. There's a bigger version of it coming up on the screen. Where it's a 15th century icon, and he portrays Abraham's three visitors, you know, the three angelic visitors, we're told, who came to visit Abraham and Sarai, as she was then, in the desert, and say that Sarai will give birth to a son. They're pictured as the members of the Trinity. By the end of the story, it says, "And the Lord said." And in the icon, they're the embodiment of unity, peace, harmony, mutual respect, humility, and love. God eternally exists in relationship. He didn't create humanity because he was lonely, or he wanted somebody to love him, or someone for him to love. He already loved and was loved. He was eternally loving and loved. Loved with the purest of love. There's never been any kind of falling out within the Godhead. There's never been any disagreement or argument or discord. Never any jealousy or anger. God is love. Pure love. Love that seeks the best for the other, always. Not a shred of selfishness or self-protection in there. And out of that love, when he created the universe, he created humanity in his own image. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Note, let us make in our image, in our likeness. And so God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God, he created them. We are made in his image, which means we are made to love. It's only the fall that has corrupted that image of love in us and turned it in on ourselves. We are made to love with the purest of loves, and that's a profound implication of the doctrine of the Trinity. The divine imprint in you is one of pure, selfless love. In New Testament terms, we know that love as agape love. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to work in every believer in Christ, to restore God's image in you, bearing the fruit of agape love in your life. Because God is Trinity and his essence is love, you are loved, loved with the very same love that is shared within the Trinity. And Jesus wants us to love one another with that same love. The night before he died, he said, "As I have loved you," to his disciples, "as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." Everyone will know that there's something going on in your lives if your love is transformed from the selfish love that we all know around us to the pure, selfless, giving love of God. And yet there is an even more mind-blowing implication of the doctrine of the Trinity. It's hinted at by the icon. The members of the Trinity are not intensely inwardly focused on one another. There's an openness. There's a welcome. There's an invitation to join at the table. There's a possibility of joining in fellowship with the triune God. Putting it biblically, Peter writes, "God has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature." Let me just read that again. Through God's promises, you may participate in the divine nature. The word translated participate is koinonia, which is usually translated fellowship. God is Trinity. He exists in a close fellowship within the Trinity, and he loves us, and in Jesus is restoring his image in us, so much so that we get invited to share in the divine fellowship of the Trinity. I find that mind-blowing. I don't know about you. Can you get your head around it? The idea of being able to participate in the divine fellowship of the Godhead. And then because God is Trinity, God, what's happened at the bottom there? That was meant to say fellowship across the bottom. Sorry about that. And because God is Trinity, God is a model family. And through faith in the work of Christ, and the indwelling, restoring work of the Holy Spirit in your life, God has adopted you into that family. Paul told us as much in our Romans reading, where he said, "The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." When you came to faith in Christ, God adopted you as his child. He adopted you into that family, that intimacy, that fellowship, that love. He welcomes you to his table because, as Paul puts it elsewhere, you are in Christ. He doesn't look on dirty old you anymore. He looks at you clothed in Christ's purity and righteousness. And because you are his child, he puts his Spirit in you, the Spirit of his Son, and the Spirit brings you resurrection life. As the Romans reading went on, he who raised Christ from the dead, who was that? God the Father. God the Father, who raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. As God the Father raised Christ from the dead, so through his Spirit in you, he raises you from death to fullness of life. This is all the... Helen's had enough. This is all the outworking of what it is for God to be Trinity. God being three and in relationship and welcoming you into that relationship. God being family, welcoming you, adopting you. What a privilege. How mind-blowing is all of that? We started off saying, God is Trinity, so what? Well, because God is Trinity, you are loved. Loved with the love that is shared within the Trinity, within the Godhead. And you are called to love, to let God restore his image of love in you and to live according to that image and not your own fallen human nature. Because God is Trinity, you are welcomed. Welcomed into the fellowship that already and eternally exists within the Godhead, within the Trinity. And you are called to embrace fellowship with every other believer in Christ's church. Because God is Trinity, you are adopted into God's family. Adopted as his child, called to serve the family business, called to invest yourself in building the kingdom of God in you and through you. I find that all of that kind of pretty, whoa! Since I've been preparing this week, I've been intentionally trying to be more conscious of living as God's adopted child, participating in the divine nature. I invite you to try and do the same with me this coming week. In any and every situation that you find yourself in, remind yourself that you are there as God's adopted child. You are there as a representative of the Trinity. Know that he is working in you to restore his image in you and seek to live accordingly. Because your 24/7 daily life can be lived in the manner that Jesus lived on earth. Because his Spirit is in you, because you're in fellowship with the Father as he was. And your 24/7 life can reflect the image in which you were made, the image of love.